Good to see you today. You guys grab a seat. We welcome you. We welcome you this morning. And it is so exciting to see you today. We are 42 days away from moving into our new facility. Is that pretty cool or what? 42 days away. We'll be here just a little over a month. And if you're new or you haven't heard, we are moving into our new building in the coming weeks. And I think we have five more Sundays after this Sunday here at Liberty Middle School, if I'm doing my math correctly. I think that's right. But we're glad you're here today. We've been talking about destinations. God has a destination for your life, and God has a destination for the Edge Church. And we've been looking at this powerful story of how God took a shepherd boy, a nobody, the youngest of all of his brothers, named David, and then made him the king and the most powerful man in the world. It's a compelling story. And God has a destination for us. We've been uncovering that. We've been learning from that. And we've been on a great spiritual journey the last few weeks. I was thinking about destinations when I was reminded of a trip to Europe that I had several years ago. Gina and I were invited to do some teaching and speaking in a church there in Eastern Europe, and we had a layover in Amsterdam, and we spent several days in that ancient city. What an incredible place to spend a few days. They say the city of Amsterdam has more museums than any city in the world. It's a fascinating place. We saw the House of Rembrandt and the Van Gogh Museum and just so many cool places. One of the places that I remember the most was the Old Church. When we got there, everybody said, oh, you got to visit the Old Church. And the Old Church is in the historic district there of the ancient city of Amsterdam, and it's one of the most beautiful cathedrals in all of Europe. We're talking 36,000 square feet of worship space. We're talking massive arches and stained glass windows that are breathtaking and paintings on the ceilings. I mean, it's an unbelievable structure. And we went there one day for a little tour, and I began to inquire and ask some questions because I was really interested in the church as much as I was the architecture and the structure. And I found that even though this cathedral one day was one of the most influential churches in the country of the Netherlands and one of the most influential churches in all of Europe, that today only a few handfuls of senior adults gather for worship in that place. And 6.5 days a week, it's a museum. It's a church that has no impact on the community. It's a church that is nothing more than just a structure. And I thought, how sad is that, that there could be such a beautiful building, and yet the impact of the church could be so impotent. You know, that church failed to pass on its faith to the next generation. That's what God wants the Edge Church to be about, passing on our faith to the next generation. Today we're talking about set for success, set for success. David, the king, understood how significant and how important it was for his faith to be passed on to the next generation. And he wanted to do everything that was possible to make sure that the people of Israel knew the Lord and knew the God that he worshiped. So late in life, 1 Chronicles 22, David is old. He's looking back on his life. And he says, you know what? God needs a house at least as nice as my house. David had a pretty nice palace. And he looked over and he saw the house of worship, the little tabernacle, the little makeshift worship center that was there. And he said, I need to build God a house. Now, if you go back to through the pages of Israelite history, you'll find that in the book of Exodus that the people of God worshiped in a tent. I mean, they would have died to have Liberty Middle School for their house of worship, right? We're talking like pipe and drape like crazy. And then they upgraded to a tabernacle, which is a little bit more permanent structure. But David began to get a vision from God to build a temple, an actual building, a house of worship. And God said, David, you cannot build my house because you are a man of war. And David said, okay, God, well, if I can't build the temple, what can I do? And it's interesting that David wasn't mad at God that he couldn't build the temple. He just figured out another way to impact the process. So what did he do? He began to prepare his son Solomon and the next generation to do what God had put into his heart. And we're going to see this story unfold. A lot of times we talk about the Temple of Solomon. It was a famous, famous, famous place in the ancient world because it was so beautiful. It was so large. But you know, when you really begin to study the story that's unfolding here in 1 Chronicles 21, you might call it the Temple of David because David did all of the heavy lifting. He did the hard work. Sometimes we think that of what we cannot do, but David began to say, well, if I can't build the temple, I'll just get everything ready for Solomon, my son, to build it. And I'm going to make sure, I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that there is a house of worship and a place that the people of Israel can know the Lord. And so he does. And I, for many years, have thought, oh, Solomon built the temple. Just recently in my own devotional life, I was reading through 1 Chronicles, and I discovered David did all the work. I mean, all Solomon had to do was push play because his father had done such a great job setting him up for success. And that's what God wants us to be about, setting the next generation up for success. When I first moved here, I went around and I attended a number of churches in the Denver metro area. And this is several years ago, before we started our church. And we didn't have Sunday services, you know, so I would just go attend churches, big churches, little churches, this denomination, that denomination, no denomination. I just went to a whole smorgasbord of churches. You know what I discovered? That most of the churches that I attended were filled with older people. Now, older people are a very important part of the church. But what was very surprising to me was that the younger generation, people in their 20s and early 30s, were almost non-existent. You know, only about 5 to 10% of our entire city goes to any Christian church. And I think if we really begin to break that down, what we would find is that's almost entirely people 40 and up. Where is the next generation? And God began to put into my heart a vision to make sure that the Christian gospel is preached in this city for generations to come. Because the Christian message is only one generation away from extinction. If we fail to pass on our faith to those that come behind us, there will be no church. We'll have an empty cathedral that'll be a museum, like what I mentioned in Amsterdam. David wanted to secure the legacy of his faith, and he began to build this temple. I want you to open your Bibles today to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And I want to look at the way that David passed on his faith, because it's an amazing thing. He helped Solomon succeed. Verse 5 tells us, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that he is to build for the Lord should be of great magnificence, fame, and splendor in the sight of all nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it." And so David made extensive preparations before his death. So he says, look, you know, my son Solomon, he's a young guy. He's a young leader. So I want to set him up for success. I want to make sure that what Solomon begins to do has every opportunity to succeed. And he helped the younger leader prepare for something great for God. You know, I've found in my own life, when there are younger leaders that succeed, it is almost always because there was an older leader that helped the younger leader succeed. You know, as I look back at my life, I am so thankful for the people that invested in my life. Everybody from my parents to my little senior adult grandmother Sunday school teachers that I had, to businessmen, professionals, to other pastors. In fact, I remember when I was a college student, I knew God had called me into the ministry, and my pastor of the church that I attended decided to do a Bible study for me and some other young and up-and-coming pastors at 6:30 in the morning every Thursday. Now, you got to love God to get up and have a Bible study at 6:30 in the morning, you know? And we had it timed out in the dorm where our alarm would go off like at 6:10, and we would lay our clothes out. We would, you know, rush, get dressed, brush our teeth, run down, jump in the car, ride together, and we could be at the church at 6:30 for Bible study. Great memories. I did that for 3 years. That pastor has left a fantastic legacy of faith in my life from spending that that time with me, and I'm so grateful for that. And others have done so as well. And I know people have invested in your life. And you know what? We need to turn around and make sure that the next generation has every opportunity to succeed, because we need to be passing on our faith. Now, we see here in 1 Chronicles 22 several things that are so important. Several things. And the first one is not on your outline, okay? This is just for free today, and I'm going to mess with all you people that love to fill in the blanks, but this is not on there. But the first thing we've got to do to pass on our faith to the next generation is modeling, okay? Modeling. Everybody say that together, modeling. Modeling, yeah, modeling. David taught Solomon how to live out his faith. He didn't just say, Solomon serve the Lord, or Solomon build a temple, or Solomon pray. David did this all the way through his life. So Solomon is watching his father. Again, Solomon is very successful. We know Solomon today as the wisest man who ever lived. And when you read about Solomon in the Old Testament, you understand why he has that title. But Solomon was wise because he had a great dad. And his dad invested in him. And his dad was wise. And you don't always get the whole story if you just look at Solomon, but look where he came from. There was an amazing legacy of faith, and David modeled his faith for his son, Solomon. So we don't need to just lead the way or just point the way. We need to live out the way, because listen, the most impactful part of our life is not just what we say, but it is what we do. And inevitably, that is what our children, that is what others will look at our life the most and see, is what we did, not just what we talked about. Sometimes as parents, it's easy to say, serve the Lord, or read your Bible, or go to church, or whatever. But listen, if that's not in us, it will certainly not be in the next generation. Modeling. And David, he just modeled this. He modeled the faith in the home. Last night, my little four-year-old girl got in trouble. And you know what happened? Her babies had to sleep in the garage. There was some major sadness going on in the Heller household last night. Now, when the babies have to sleep in the garage, that's like you did something really bad, you know. And that's far worse than like 10 spankings. Bryn would have much rather had the spankings, man. She was like, babies in the garage. Whew, that's the heavy stuff. And you know what she wanted to do? She grabbed her babies and she said, Mommy, I need to pray for my babies that they won't be scared in the garage. And so Bryn gathered her babies up and prayed for them before they all went to the garage. I saw them there this morning. They were doing okay. Nothing bad happened. They're still okay. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cute and funny that she went to pray for her babies. But then I thought, we've been teaching our kids to pray. That's exactly what our kids should be doing, right? I mean, if they have a concern or a worry or there's something that's on their heart or mind, we've been teaching them that they need to pray and talk to God. And so she was just doing what's being modeled in the home. Isn't that cool? We do a little devotional time, you know, with the kids most nights. If we forget a night, they remind us, you know. The kids love it. We just read a little thought in a Bible verse, and there's a picture, you know, for the kids. They're totally into it. Love that. And our kids have been praying about our building, you know, longer than any of us have. And I tell you, when I would hear my kids pray for our building, it would encourage me so much. I was like, to hear prayers like that from 4 and 5 year olds, I was like, God's going to give us that building, you know. And it just began to build my faith and to bless me in many ways. But the next generation will do what they see modeled. So the question is, are we modeling the faith that we want to see others carry out? And if not, what do we need to do to begin to change that? Now, do we have any Star Trek fans in the house today? Okay, we got one right back over here. Yeah, some Trekkie people. Maybe you guys go to those conventions or something like that, dress up like Spock. I'm not sure. But, you know, there's Star Trek that was supposed to take place in the 23rd century. That's like the original Star Trek. William Shatner and Spock and all that. By the way, I cannot take those Priceline.com commercials seriously, because I'm like, Star Trek, baby, you know. I think that's funny. I grew up watching the reruns of the original Star Trek, you know, as a kid. But then they came out with the Next Generation. the next generation Star Trek. And now they've got all these other, you know, different things. The next generation was the 24th century. But there's a lot of things that are similar between the 23rd century and the 24th century. They both have a ship called the Enterprise that looks relatively the same. They're both doing space exploration. Both generations are still wearing the same outfits, man. They've still got the little Star Trek outfits, you know. And there's some things that are totally the same. There's some things that are very different. Different casts, different characters, different plots, different generations. There's some things that are always changing, and there's some things that are never changing, because it wouldn't be Star Trek if it wasn't, you know, this. And I think that's a beautiful picture of the church. The church is always changing and never changing at the same time. It's never changing in our belief in the Word of God and the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That is true for all generations. We're still worshiping the same Jesus that resurrected from the grave 2,000 years ago. It's the same old stuff in many ways, you could say. But you know what? There's other things in the church that are always evolving. And I think it'd be funny to watch a video. They probably won't even have video in 20 years. But could you imagine some kind of recording of our worship service today, 20 years from now? I mean, the music will be like, oh, man, that is so old school. I can't believe they were doing that, you know. And then some people will be like, man, look at Pastor Ryan's outfits. Man, I can't believe he wore that. And you know, some people won't have to wait 20 years to say that. Some of you are saying that today, you know. I had somebody come up to me a couple months ago. They're like, man, like, where do you get your clothes? Because those aren't from here, you know. Some other place, like some other continent, you know, some other universe, something like that. Be funny. There's some things that are evolving and that are changing, but there's other things that are always the same. And that's what the church is all about. We need to model that for our kids, our grandkids, the next generation. That's what we're all about, man. Modeling. And then David goes on and he says, it's about serving. Look at verse 15, serving. You have many workers, stonecutters, masons, and carpenters, as well as those skilled in every kind of work, in gold and silver and bronze and iron, craftsmen beyond number. Now begin the work, and the Lord will be with you. And then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. David said, man, we got to get all the guys together. We need the guys that work with gold and the guys that work with bronze and the guys that cut stones. It's going to take everybody to get the house of God in order. It took a broad participation. Everybody was important. We can accomplish more together than we can individually. That's what we're doing with our church, with our house of worship. Is everybody's participating. Everybody's getting involved. Everybody's serving. We're going to need to double our serving base of the church as we move into this new facility. Did you know that? We have one main door here at this facility. I almost called this a church. I guess it kind of is a church. At our school, now we're going to have four points of entry. You can come into this building in four places. We got to have more people to welcome. We're going to have more kids' classes. Overnight, our kids' ministry is going to double. Our church is going to grow. We need everybody on the team. And I would just encourage you, if you're kind of sitting here, maybe you're kind of new or kind of checking it out, man, I want to tell you, we got a place on the team for you. And you can just put on your connection card, hey, I want to serve today if you want to get involved. Because it's going to be exciting, but I got to tell you, it's going to take everybody to leave a mark on the next generation. And that's why we serve. That's why we get involved. That's why we're doing the stuff, is because we want to make a difference. And David assembles all of these people. And not one of them could have done it by themselves, but all of them working together, they were able to accomplish something that was outstanding, something that was amazing. It takes everyone. So there's serving. There's also training. There's training. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence, fame, and splendor in the sight of all nations. And he says, therefore, I will make the preparations for it. So David begins to prepare Solomon to succeed. He's setting the next generation up for success. He's training others. You know, I was talking with Pastor Jeff about this in our church, and he let me know that the Winemaster family, they've been leading home groups for the last 3 years. They've had 7 or 8 new home group leaders that have come out of their home group. Now, that's incredible. Training people up. That's what it's all about. It's about training people to serve, training people in ministry. And that's what we need over and over and over again in our church. We're going to need a lot of new home groups in the coming months. And what we need is people that are focused on training the next generation, setting the next generation up for success. In other words, it's not just what I can do, but it's what can I help other people do, who can help other people to do, who can help other people to do. So we're not just setting up kingdoms, we're setting up people for success to impact the kingdom, the kingdom of God, by training and empowering other leaders. And I'm just so proud of our student ministry. Our teenagers have been investing in the next generation. Over the last few weeks, they have been leading kids' camps. And did you know 15 kids in elementary school have committed their lives to Jesus Christ because of our EDGE camps? Is that not awesome today to celebrate? And I get excited about 15 kids committing their lives to Jesus, but I tell you, I get really, really excited about seeing teenagers serve the Lord, and they're out doing the stuff. They're connecting with the next generation. They're making a spiritual impact, and that's what it's all about. So if you're like in your 30s or 40s, then hopefully you're investing in the next generation, people in their 20s and 30s. And if you're in your 20s, I hope that you're investing in people that are teenagers. And if you're a teenager, then you need to invest in some tweeners. Do you guys know what tweeners are? Tweeners are kids that think they're teenagers because they have a cell phone, but they're not. That's the definition of a tweener. Somebody. So invest in somebody else. And I'll tell you, I believe this to be true. Most of the time, the younger generation wants the older generation to invest in them. Most of the time. If you're younger generation, you don't want people to invest in you, then you're foolish, okay? You need to get something right with God in your heart. Most of the time, people that are older underestimate the role that they could play in somebody's faith that's younger than them. A lot of people are older, like, man, would they listen to me? To younger people, I'm not cool, and you know, I don't roll my pants up and all that stuff. I don't wear skinny jeans and all that. That's cool, you know. Just be a cool grandpa, you know. That's good. That's good. There's a place for that, and God will use a variety of different people whose hearts are just yielded to Him. People that'll say, man, I want to set the next generation up for success. I want to make a spiritual difference in the lives of those that are younger and that are coming up behind me. And you know, sometimes it's not always age. Because I've seen some people in our church that have been walking with God for a long time, and they're in their 20s, and they're helping people that are much older than them. And so sometimes we even have a great ministry to people that we might not normally think that we do, but let's set the next generation up for success by training and developing people. And then the scripture goes on in verse 14, and David sets the example in giving. Look at this. I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone. And you may add to them. And you may have many workers, stonecutters, masons, and carpenters, as well as those skilled in every kind of work, in gold and silver and bronze and iron and craftsmen beyond number. Now begin the work of the Lord, and the Lord be with you. So David says, listen, I'm giving, and now I'm asking you to give so we can impact the next generation. David set the example. He modeled this. And Gina and I feel a spiritual responsibility to lead the way as the spiritual leaders of our church, you know, in giving. And we love to give. We're giving faithfully to the REACH Project. And we believe in it because we want to reach the next generation. Several weeks ago, we gave a large gift to the REACH Project, and we're going to continue to give. But I'll tell you, we cannot do it by ourselves. It takes all of us together to accomplish the goal at hand. And several weeks ago, we mentioned that we're raising $50,000 plus in our congregation, just our folks here this summer towards the REACH project. We need those funds. We got to fix the floors in this building. We need to paint. We need some speakers. We need some lights. We need some projectors, you know. We need some projector screens. The landscaping in some places looks like the Sahara Desert over there. I'm talking, there's just some things we need to do. The parking lot is looking awesome. We're so thankful. The parking lot, if you haven't driven by, you need to go by, just look at the parking lot. I have personally been so happy about the parking lot. I've been doing donuts in it. I've been just driving around, so excited about that. Looks awesome. But listen, there's some other things we need to do over there. And your giving is going to make a difference to change lives and to set the next generation up for success. Isn't that great? So we look forward to that. And we're off to a great start this summer. And we're just a few days away from being able to move in. But boy, we got a lot of work to do in that building to get it ready. We do not want to have all of these guests come through our doors and have wallpaper hanging off the wall. And big, massive stains all over the carpets and the bathroom stinking and all that kind of stuff. We want to create a house of worship for God that shows how great the God that we serve really is. And so David says, man, I'm going to give. And by the way, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give too. He says in verse 14, and you may add to them. He says, I've given sacrificially, but I want you to add to it. And that's what we're doing here. With the Edge Church and with our REACH project is we're raising those funds and we are well on our way. I'll tell you what, God's already provided several hundred thousand dollars and we got a lot to be thankful for in that regard. There's a final thing that David did here I want to point out and draw to your attention. That is, he also cast vision for reaching the next generation, for setting the next generation up for success. Then David ordered all of the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. And he said to them, is not the Lord your God with you? And has not he granted you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hands, and the land is subject to the Lord and to his people. Now devote your heart and your soul to seeking the Lord your God, and begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. So David is casting vision for what this place is going to be. He says the Ark of the Covenant's going to be there. The articles are going to be there. It's going to be this amazing house of worship. God is going to be exalted there. The name of the Lord is going to be worshiped. It's going to be great. And sometimes we can get so busy doing the stuff that we forget why are we doing it, right? We can talk about the what and forget about the why. The why is that the name of the Lord can be seen and can be worshiped. And he says in verse 17, number one, get behind the new leader, Solomon. You know, I'm not going to be here, but I need you guys to get behind the new leader. And then he says, God is with us. By the way, God has been with us. God is continuing to be with us. I was thinking this morning about this passage, and, you know, I have a pretty broad network. I've been a church starter for more than 10 years. I got hundreds of church starting friends all over the country, in Canada, North America. I will tell you this, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know any new church start that is moving into a building this nice, this fast. Now, I may be wrong, and there may be some people I've forgotten about it that I don't know, but I can't think of them. For us to have a facility like this, this size, this potential, this type of impact that God's going to give to us is unprecedented. It is a special opportunity. God is preparing us to be a part of something great. Something great. It's going to be some of the most exciting days of our spiritual lives is going to be over the next few months as we see God take our small little church start and move into one of these beautiful houses of worship. It's going to be awesome. God is with us, all that to say. God is with us. And the time is to seek the Lord. David challenges the people to seek the Lord. And you know what? That's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying. We need to be believing God. We need to be serving. We need to be giving. We need to be getting excited. We need to be telling our friends about it because God is up to something great here at the Edge Church. And then he says in verse 19, the goal of the house of worship is that the name of the Lord would be made known. And it's built for the name of the Lord. And David says, guys, listen, the reason we're doing all this stuff, the reason we got all the stonemasons and you know, all the woodcutters and all the artisans, it's all for the Lord. It's all for him. And that's why we're doing this. We're setting up this building. It's really not even about the building. It's about the changed lives. It's really about the people. That's why we're doing this. And we want the name of the Lord to be lifted up to the next generation in our city, because the Edge Church is a next generation church that's focused on what God wants to continue to do in the future. So Solomon accomplished something great for God. He built the temple, and most importantly, the temple that Solomon built sparked a massive spiritual revival and awakening in his generation. People turned their hearts to the Lord in unprecedented numbers. God did amazing things in the life of Israel. And it happened in Solomon's generation. But you know what? David paved the way. David set the stage. David made the preparations. David trained the leaders. David organized it. David challenged people. David gave the money. David dreamed the dream. And that's what God has given us the opportunity to do today, is to set the next generation up for success. Let's move forward in faith as we believe God to do great things in our lives. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. God, thank you today for your word that has been spoken to us. We thank you for the example of David. We thank you for his bold faith and his audacity, Lord, to believe you for something great. Lord, we know David never even saw the temple that he dreamed of. But God, though he never saw it physically, he did see it spiritually. And God, I know that the seeds that are being sowed, the seeds of giving, the seeds of faith, the seeds of serving in this church today are going to have a spiritual impact on this generation and generations to come for a long, long time. Thank you for letting us be a part of your work today. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment longer, I wonder how many of us today have never met this great God. Maybe you've never begun a relationship with him. You've never known the Lord. You've never had him come into your life to make you a brand new person. You know, the scripture tells us that the old things pass away and that all things become new. Maybe today you need a clean slate with God. You need a fresh beginning. You need to know God as your heavenly Father. You know, the scripture tells us that God adopts us into his own family. And today, by faith, you have the opportunity to join God's great family. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I want to just lead you in a word of prayer. Would you just hold up your hand today for just a moment if you'd say, man, I need to invite the Lord into my life today. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Over here, somebody else. Yeah, thank you. Right over here. Yeah. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, please forgive my sins. Make me a brand new person as I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what he did at the cross and the resurrection. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen.